Going on, everybody. It's be your boy DJ Anonymous with Sports Biz Music, the podcast, episode 108. And I got a very, very special guest on the show. I got my boy Ricardo Richard. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Man, I'm all right. You know, it's been kind of not cold like up north, but, you know, it's getting a little bit chippy down here. You know, something that we needed because it's always hot down here. So.
Yeah, it's snowing out here.
Yeah, y'all lucky. You know, I have an aunt. I have a couple aunts. One stay in Somerset, Jersey.
Okay.
And another one, she stay up in Georgia. But you know, a lot of people, you know, a lot of the southern states have snow except for us. Because, you know, it's hot down here. But they always make fun of us, you know, whenever the temperature get to like 69, 68, but I be trying to tell them, and I'm like, you know, y'all was born here in Miami, so Florida, like, cold weather is different, you know. Like, yeah. I've had people from up north in different places that's cold, and they say that, you know, Florida weather, like, when it get cold, it's like a different type of cold, you know.
But
before we get into the questions and everything, you know, give like a little introduction to the people that may not know about you and what you got going on.
Oh, okay. So I'm sorry, I'm just getting over a little cold, but
yeah,
my name is Ricardo Richard. So I'm a just upcoming, you know, like filmmaker, writer, producer, director, all of that. I had a series come out 2018, the Hurt People, Hurt People, Bitter and Broken series. It's actually on YouTube now. We just used the subtitle on YouTube because when I was trying to do Hurt People, like the whole name, so many other different things popped up. So I just, to find it on YouTube, it's just Bitter and Broken Web Series. So we got 8 episodes up there. Our first episode just hit like 10,000 views, and the other one is like 2,000, 1,000, you know, still trying to catch up. So that was like a milestone for me. We're currently, we just finished wrapping up season 2 of the second season, and we just started production in the third season, so we just a little hiatus right now because of the winter, but and you know, Christmas and everything, but we start back up in January in the third season. So that's who I am, and I'm also currently in a stage play called Marriage Single and Everything in Between. That start back, that production start back up in January as well.
Oh, so you have another web series?
No, that's the stage play that I'm in.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Somebody else's production that I'm in. So I'm just the actor in that production.
Okay, so yeah, you got a lot of you got a lot of stuff going on. That's what's up.
Yeah, it just still gotta work. You feel me?
Yeah,
like, until it happens.
So let's talk about the beginnings. Like, what made you, you know, want to get into the film and art, you know, industry?
I think for me, it was something that, like me, was talking about it previously. It was something that I always wanted to do,
right.
But I lacked the necessary like resources to do it. I'm from a small town, from Trenton, New Jersey. Population is like 84,000 people. Most of the people in the city know each other, some don't, but it's a real small town, you know, and I think for me, I didn't see anything tangible, like, I didn't see anybody do it, I didn't see anybody, like, in my family, like, I just didn't see any inspiration, you know what I mean, so I think for me, it was just, you know, just growing up also in Trenton, it's like a, you know, kind of urban community, kind of poor,
right,
so growing up struggling and stuff like that, I just never thought it was possible, and I just didn't know where to go, you know what I mean? So I think what was a pivotal moment for me was in 2015, where I lost my best friend, my brother, Yaquin Colvin. I think that was the moment that I felt like, okay, whatever it is that you want to do, you know, he was 26 when he passed away. So when I was looking at my brother, you feel me, in a casket, like, I couldn't believe it. I'm like, I felt like I was in a Matrix or a movie. I'm like, yo, this can't be life. Like, bro, like, we were just together a couple of days ago. You know what I'm saying? So it was a life-altering thing because a couple of days before he died, we weren't, like, on the best speaking terms.
Mm.
You get what I mean? Because I was at a point in my life where I wanted to start changing. You know what I mean? I didn't want to just keep doing the norm and the turning up and the, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just living reckless. Like, I was like, yo, I want to get my spirit right. Like, it's something else that's more out there for me. You know what I'm saying? I started feeling that around that time. So, you know, that kind of bothered me, you know, for years to come. I'm more like, I'm better with it now. But what I did was I started writing through the pain. You get what I mean? That was the first time I think of my life where it was really like, I was in a dark place. You get what I mean?
Right.
And I, instead of like just partying and drinking, and I did party a little bit, I'm not going to lie, but instead of just throwing my life away, because I just really didn't understand what was going on, I said, you know what, let me write through the pain. Again, I had seen somebody else's web series, I reached out to them, and the guy didn't even know me, he was like from Tennessee or something, he was like, create your own. I'm like, start making up all these excuses in my head why I couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, those voices in your head, you know, not literally a voice, but figuratively.
Right.
Like,
yeah, your conscience.
Your head, like, yeah, your conscience. Like, you can't do it. Nobody in your family never did it. Nobody from the city never did it. You didn't go to school for this, you know? And I just was talking myself out of it. Like, you can't do it. Like, and then, you know, the guy was like, just create your own. He didn't even know I was a writer or nothing like that. Like, he didn't know me. I didn't know him. And I just kind of felt like it was like a beacon of light. Like, it was like a light bulb went off. And I was just like, yo, like, okay. And then I didn't have a cast. I didn't have, you know, somebody to shoot it. Like, I didn't completely know what I was doing at all. I'm still learning.
Right.
I think for me, once I have my mindset on doing something and I said, I'm going to do it. So slowly things started just happening. Like, I saved up money, got me a camera. The next thing you know, one of the guys in payroll at the same job.
Mm-hmm.
He wound up doing, he filmed like weddings and stuff like that, but he never did a series. So it was all new for both of us.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing you know, a couple of people that I work with, I'm like, yo, I'm going to need you for this and that. And then some of my other people's like, I'm going to need a part. And next thing you know, it was just like, after a year of saving, financing it, you know, from working two jobs, you know what I mean, and a script. And when I tell you I went through a couple of cast members, some people got sick and, you know, some people moved. And I'm like, yo, this is really not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But it was all about timing, because years prior, when I was in college, I wrote a play called Misery Loves Company. Never did nothing with it. So I was kind of scared, like, maybe this ain't gonna happen. And then when the timing was right, we had our full cast, and then the main character wasn't committing, you know? And then I met this guy at my job,
mm-hmm.
and we just started clicking. And one day, I think he got sick or something, and I thought I was visiting another friend at the hospital, and it was him. And then after that, we just kind of, like, clicked.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, I could do the styling of your show. I'm like, bro, I need you, like, it's like, I never act. I'm like, we could figure it out. And then the rest is history. And then now we got a whole season. And 10,000 views later, like, we here, you know, working on season two. You know what I mean? So I'm excited.
So let's talk about Hurt People. Was it based on your life?
So Hurt People is dedicated to my best friend.
Yeah.
But the series definitely is not about my life. I could definitely say by writing it,
yeah,
there's probably certain things in there that I probably could definitely relate to, just growing up in, you know, the hood or whatever,
right,
and certain struggles, you feel what I'm saying, or seeing, you know, people who abused alcohol or just, you know, going to church when I was younger. It's certain things I could definitely relate to, you get what I mean, or certain things that happened in my life, but the series is definitely, like, not inspired by my life at all. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it was just me writing and creating and, you know, stuff like that.
So I'm trying to ask. So what was, like, the process of creating the show, like, even before filming it?
The process was just me sitting there and just being like, okay, now it's just time to write. And when I first started writing, I didn't know how to write an official, you get what I'm saying, script.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wrote, you get what I mean? And as I started writing, the first scene was so intense, and you see it in the show, when the young lady who was struggling with infertility, I think that's the word, she was upset with God because she lost the child. I didn't realize that that was a conversation I had many years ago with my aunt. So I didn't realize it until the show aired, and I was like looking at it like, yo, this is similar to a conversation I had.
Right.
You get what I mean? So so I wrote that. I think it took like maybe 3 months to write it.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote it, and then in 2016, and then we started practicing maybe July, August, September, like all of those months for a couple of months. And then we actually start shooting in January 2017, and it's finished officially with everything October 2017, and then everything was edited probably by January 2018. So it was almost like kind of maybe a year and a half process. Mm-hmm. So even after I wrote it in 3 months, I still had to get a cast together. I still had to practice. You get what I'm saying? I still had to, you know, find an editor and like all of that. Like, people don't understand, like, and I didn't understand, like, you know, writing is one thing, shooting is another thing. Like, I had to be almost like a mini Tyler Perry. You get what I'm saying? Like, I had to be the sound guy. I had to score my own stuff. And if people don't know what scoring is, it's basically when you watch the series and you finally put it together, you got to figure out what music best fits, you know, certain scenes. You get what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it enhances things and makes it better. So I had to find the locations. Like, where are we shooting at? What days? What times? You know, and it's just a long, it's a big process. It's like 7-8 jobs to one, you know, writer. And then I also acted in it as well.
Yeah, you have.
You get what I mean? So, and I also had to shoot. And while I was shooting, you know, it's different for when you just act. You get what I mean? You're just acting. When I was in my scenes with the actors, I also had to direct it while I was in the scenes as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that made it a little bit more complex. When I was just like shooting, you know, when I was directing, when it was just other actors, it was a little bit more easier. But when I was also acting in the scenes, it was just a little bit more complex. You know, because I had to, you know, stop, look, make sure everything was right. All right, I need to be at this part, you know, staying at this. You know, it's just a long process, but to see the love that I've been getting, you know, from all over, it's just worth it.
Right.
So it's just all about quality, you know what I mean? Really taking your time. So I would say it probably was almost, yeah, like a year and a half to really, you know, shooting and then editing the post-production. Sometimes it's almost a year just putting it together after you just shot for maybe 8 months. It might take a whole another 8 months to edit. You get what I mean? So, yeah, like a year and a half, I would say, for the season one.
Yeah, because I always wanted to know, like, even from an independent, you know, production, like, the process of, you know, just creating the product, you know, writing, you know, coming up with the cast, coming up with the setting. I know it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. I feel like, I was telling somebody the other day, I feel like this, I work harder at this than my other two jobs that I work where I make money.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so rewarding at the same time. You get what I mean? So I don't mind it. You know what I mean? So it's a blessing. And then marketing is a whole nother thing. Like, okay, I'm independent. Nobody don't know me. You get what I mean? So how am I going to push this thing out into the universe?
Right.
You get what I mean? Like, how is people going to be able to see it? Because I know once people see it, I know I'll be able to create an opportunity out of nothing. But how do I get this out there? So that's a whole nother conversation. Like, that's a whole nother beast right there, you know?
Right. So, and then, so what made you want to pick the cast that you picked, that you have on the show? Like, what was the process of that? Like, did you have tryouts, or did you know them already?
Yeah, we had a couple of people. Some of the cast members, if not most, is people that I know personally.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I mean? So you have the little boy. I don't know. I don't want to tell too much because, I mean, at this point, it's almost 2 years. So one of the characters, his name, Kayon Wilson, in episode 4, he was murdered by a police officer, if you saw it.
Yeah, I seen
that. He was my godson. So it was easy for me to cast him because he was somebody around. And I wanted to keep these kids out of trouble. There's another little boy who's with his brother in episode 3 where they beat me down or whatever.
Yeah.
That's my other guy, so Archie. His name is Corey. So I was able to just grab them, like, these are my guy, you know, they're my guy kids, and I just felt like, all right, you know what I mean, they're young, you know, you sometimes you get into trouble, and I'm like, you know, we're going to do something constructive, we're going to do something positive than just, you know what I mean, getting in trouble. Janine, who plays my mother, I work with her, and the what you see on camera is, like, kind of how we really are, like, you get what I mean, so that was really fun. You know, because in real life, she's really, like, real motherly to me. You get what I mean?
Right.
And Val, who plays the character Brie, she's a friend of mine. So a lot of the actors, Fredrika, Rasan, like I said, I met him at work. Jordana is my sister, who's best friends to the mother's character, the one that's played my mother. She's Jordana, she's my sister. So, yeah, most of them... it's people I know or related or just friends. So that was the process. Season one was just more so like, let me just get people who I know.
Right.
You get what I mean? Who I know is good energy. And so everybody, every individual that was a part of the cast, whether it was behind the scenes or in front, it was everybody's first like acting job. You get what I mean? So I think that was a refreshing too, because it was like all our first, you know? So that's how I chose the cast. Now season two was different. Some of the people, you know, actually reached out to me social media, and I had to go over some lines and figure out was they gonna make it. And you know, season two was a different process, but season one was just people that I kind of knew. You get what I mean?
The characters on season two, are they local or they out of state, out of the city?
Predominantly, most of the characters, is anybody out of state in season two? Let me tell you, season two is so many more characters, like, but it's still like focused on three central characters, which is the brother. If, like I said in the episode, if you see, so predominantly it's most of the cast, I would say, is from the city of Trenton.
Okay.
I mean, I might have one of the characters from like Bristol or like PA or something, Pennsylvania, but even with being in certain part of Pennsylvania, is like closer to Trenton. So I would say most of the cast, the guy who edits, he's from like Burlington, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say most of it is most of it is local.
Okay. And to get back to the title, hurt people, because you know that's a saying now, we hear it all the time.
Yeah.
Like, what made you want to give that title? Like, what was the whole thing about it, the whole story about it?
I think the hurt people thing, like you said, is like more so like a cliche, like a lot of people say it.
Right.
I think initially it was just going to be called hurt people. Mm. But I said, you know, how can I make this my own? Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? Like everybody had hurt people. I knew I wanted to have the title broken because, you know, I was going to church one day and one of the pastor one day was just saying that everybody's broken, you know, everybody's hurt.
Right.
So I was like, okay, it's gotta be broken, you know, broken. And I was just playing with different titles and it just wasn't coming together. You get what I mean? And one day I was reading on this book, you know, about, cause let me, like, if I could be honest, after my best friend died, I really was just like on a search, like,
right.
Like, what's the reason why we here? Like, I was just really like big on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So I was reading on this book, it's called My Purpose Driven Life. And it was just talking about being bitter. You know, when you hurt and when you being stagnated and, you know, when you can't let go and somebody hurt you. And there's all this different type of stuff on bitterness. And when I saw the word bitter and I thought of broken, I'm like, bitter and broken. And as soon as I said it, I was like, yo, it's almost like it just gelled. It's like right. It connected. So hurt people is a title that's just, is very like known. But the bitter and broken part is something I created. So when I added all together, I just felt like I was taking something that everybody said, but I was also making it my own. Like, you get what I mean? Like, people mm-hmm. that's hurt, you know, is normally they're broken. And sometimes, you know, it depends on the type of level you hurt. You know, sometimes you could be bitter. You get what I mean?
Or, right.
You know, so I just realized what the hurt people thing is. You know, everybody's hurt, and then... whether some people hurt people, whether it's intentional or unintentional, you know? So I feel like the bitter and broken thing, it just tied into just hurting people, you know?
Yeah, hurt people, bitter and broken. Yeah, because, yes. Like, when I was watching the show, It was a while ago. It was around the time when I reached out to you.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I was like, man, like, I hope season two will be even better, because it's like, you know, growing up, you know, you a 90s baby, right?
Yeah, no, I'm actually a late 80s. Well, I am kind of like a 90s baby.
Yeah, we are in the same age. I'll be 28 next month, so we in the same generation. Yeah. But you know, growing up, having our grandmas and stuff, like, they used to watch, like, the soap operas around 1, 2 o'clock, you know, in the afternoon. Yeah. And, like, you know, when I was watching the show, I was like, it's really like a soap opera, but for, like, our generation, you know.
Oh, that's what's up.
Different things that we could, you know, relate to, especially for, you know, for our generation. Because I always felt that, you know, for us as millennials, you know, we need to have certain things that we can relate to, especially when it comes to shows and stuff. And I know it's a lot of series on YouTube and things of that nature. Like, my wife, she always try to put me on. I told her, like, when I find something and I like it, like, I'm gonna stick to that, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, it's just amazing, like, how, like, yeah, you know, it was the first season and stuff, and everything, you know, wasn't perfect, but to me it was perfect, because it was like,
thank you,
I can relate to that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I know people who had drinking problems and, you know, that's procrastinating. I know people, you know, cousins and having homeboys or homegirls who going through relationship problems, or who got jumped in school, or who got, you know, shot or whatever. Like, everything just reminded me of, like, living down here in Miami. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was just, I loved it. So,
thank you. I appreciate it. You feel me? I think one thing I can say, I feel like everybody's kind of connected.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I mean? So I feel like if I wasn't, I just feel like you could meet somebody and you feel like one thing could happen and another thing could happen. Meaning, you know, when I met the lady who's playing my mother, when we started working together, I had no idea years later she would be playing my mother on the series.
Right.
So if I didn't do anything with my best friend passing, if I would have just been like, you know, I'm going to just, you feel me, be destructive, this never, nothing positive never came out of it.
Right.
So by me doing what I did, it created an opportunity for all these different actors. And then for other people, you know, from people that I might not never meet, you mm-hmm. know, when they inbox me and say stuff like, yo, thank you. And it touches me in a way where I'm so grateful. You get what I mean? Because I'm just grateful that I did it. I'm grateful that I did what I knew I should have been doing a long time ago. You get what I mean? So it's a blessing. Like, even you saying something about the soap opera thing, that's the first time I heard it.
Mm-hmm.
It was just important for me to do something with, you know, a little bit more conscious driven.
Right.
You know, I wanted people to heal. I wanted people to address the hurt. And I wanted to promote counseling. I wanted to promote faith, you know, all that different type of stuff, because I felt like in the black, I think with a lot of us, I mean, mm-hmm. season two, it gets a little bit more urban.
Right.
But I didn't want it to just be like a street show, because I felt like when you watch a lot of black shows, it's always like, when you think of, like, somebody like Denzel Washington, he didn't get an Oscar until he was in Training Day.
Yeah.
You get what I mean? Or Halle Berry when she was, like, you know, the prostitute.
Mm-hmm.
So I just felt like, why is it that we always got to deem, or you look at Monique when she was a monster, you know, and Precious.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, why do we always got to be deemed, you know, these hoodlums or these hood, you know, people,
yeah,
and
like
which,
stereo,
you know, even though
like
they come from the struggle.
Yeah, like stereotype. Like they stereotype.
Yeah, so I wanted to show us from a different angle. Like, yeah, I'm an alcoholic, but not in real life, of course, but yeah, I play an alcoholic, mm-hmm. but he's in pain though. Like,
right.
Even when he's laughing and making jokes and stuff, like, he's hurting. You get what I'm saying?
But
like, so I wanted to expose that, or the young kid who's trying to, you know, be a people's pleaser. I can say I could relate to that part, just as far as I'm a natural person. Like, I want everybody to be happy. So I really love that part, you know, where, you know, he's kind of torn. Like, yo, I want to please my girl, but at the same time, I want to please my dad. And,
right.
You know, so you know, the person that want to make everybody happy, but they're not always happy. And then with the other girl who just been in her system, you know, been in the system her whole life. So she make irrational decisions because she's just surviving. You know what I mean? So I think one moment where you're upset with her, oh, she slept with her best friend boyfriend. And then the next episode, you like, you feel bad for her. Like, dang, she ain't got nobody. I don't agree with what she did, but now I can understand why she might have did it.
Yeah, because I was,
you
like,
know what I mean?
Yeah, because when that happened, I was like, man, I was about to throw my phone. I'm like, damn, like, she, well, what we say down here, we say flaw when somebody do something.
So, she flawed, okay.
Yeah, she flaws, you know, whatever, but yeah, it's amazing. Now, let's get to season two. Now, yeah. I don't want you to say too much, but How do you feel about season two overall? Like, what you expect?
Overall, I would say season two took almost 2 years as well. When we was done finishing, when season one was airing, we started recording February of 2018, and we just got finished maybe September of this year. Right. So what happened was with season two, I would say interesting was maybe towards July. I think the last episode aired in July. And I was done with season two. Like, it was written. Like, what I do is normally, and I think a lot of writers don't, I like to multitask. So if I'm in season one, I'm writing season two. Mm-hmm. But I realize with some people some writers, they might just give 100% in a season. Like, focus on season one, do the promotion, do everything in season one. Me, I like to be a little bit of ahead. You get what I mean? So while I was doing season two, I was writing season three, which is a lot. When you trying to do everything, but I'm like, listen, if I could do it, I could do it. So, when season one was completely done and it was, you know, streaming on YouTube, I had finished writing season two.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, all right, I start sending emails out and, you know, I was just like, all right, this is going to be good. Over the summer of 2018, I had met this young guy, little boy, I think he was maybe 9 or 10 at the time, and he was a relative of mine, but I always remember when he was a little kid, he was always dancing and singing like a star. This little boy was a star. And I remember meeting him, and as soon as I met him, I was like, something was just like, it clicked. I was just like, yo, I need, what would you think about being in the series? And he was just like, oh, you know, and I was just like, all right, whatever. And nothing really happened. I think when his dad saw, and maybe that could have been 2017. I can't really remember, but all I remember was when his dad saw, I talked to his dad about it, but when his dad saw the season one aired, he hit me up like, you still want my son to be a part of your series, da, 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 da. So basically what happened was when I met the young boy, I didn't have a character for him. After I met him, you know, I was so inspired, you know, by him, you know, certain things about him. He reminded me like a younger version of myself.
Right.
You know, I was just thinking about a little bit about my upbringing. And I thought about me and my brother and my cousin. And I thought about, you know, when we was younger, you know, we all made stupid decisions. You get what I'm saying? But for the most part, I would say I was like the most level-headed. So I would have like both of my brother and my cousin, they would be more like in the streets. You feel what I'm saying? And you know, I made a little stupid mistakes or whatever, but, you know, I got myself together, you know, where more so them, they're still like, you know, still getting themselves together. You get what I mean? They're still in and out of jail.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I mean? And even though we've been through a lot of the same stuff, you know, like I said, I was able to take whatever I went through and I was like, okay, I'm going to do something with it. So it inspired me like, okay, it's these three brothers. So what I did was, I said, you know what, how about I go back to, like, let's, like, what happened to this little boy that got gunned down in the alleyway?
Right.
Like, why did he just, out of nowhere, like, you get what I mean? Like, maybe I need to go in retrospect. I need to go backwards and tell their story. Because I felt like the scene that happened with him getting gunned down, you know, in the alleyway, that scene wasn't even written in the series.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I mean? It was just something that I just felt moved from just working and, you know, doing this series. And I was just like, yo, this scene is needed. But I just, like I said, when I met the little boy and I just started thinking about my life, I was just like, yo, I need to talk about their stories. There's a story here with these three little boys.
Right.
But I told myself, I said, but season two is already written. So I said, you know what? I'm going to save this story. You know, I said, I'm going to start writing. by these three little boys. They're going to be called the Brown Brothers. And I said that I'm going to create another, maybe a movie or a short movie or something about these three brothers. But then I thought to myself, I said, but instead of making it a movie just with them, won't you add them into Hurt People, Hurt People? Like, bring these characters back into the Hurt People world.
Right.
You know, instead of making it two different projects, make it bigger and better. You get what I mean? Like, have it multiple cast. Like, you get what I mean? Like, I kind of did in season one. But the difference is with season two is the kids are leading this season.
Okay, so they becoming the leading roles.
Yes.
Versus like last season.
Yes. So throughout the season, the boy. So season two starts off with where episode four left off.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was writing, season two was going to start off where episode eight left off, where the I guess the guy, whatever he was going through with his dad, he was telling him that he was struggling. You mm-hmm. get what I'm saying? So it was going to start off from that moment. But I just, like I said, you know, just writing or whatever, I took my time and I just start changing the script. And I said, you know what, I'm going to start off, because people was asking me, like, you know, what happened to that the little boy or whatever, you know, that ran away and left his brother, dead in the alleyway? Like, whatever happened to him?
Right.
Because that's the last you see of him. You don't see him for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I was figuring that out, too. Like, when the season, after the episode, I was like, I was wanting to know what happened, so.
Yeah. So I just was like, wow, you get what I mean? So I was just like, you know what? He was already going to be in the season.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know about necessarily creating a backstory like that. Like I said, until I met the other boy. And then I got them all together, and they really kind of like, they started working together, and you know, the personalities at times clashed, you get what I mean? But eventually they really, like, really became, like, brothers, you get what I'm saying? They really started looking after each other. So season two pick up where episode four left. So mm-hmm. when you see the new season, the first episode, you're going to see him running, you get what I mean? You're going to see the boy running, and he's going to take you on his journey. So this whole season is just seen through his eyes. You know what I mean? Like, I'm still in the season, of course. Season two, I'm in rehab. Trying to get myself together. Bree character, she's still searching for her mother. Brashear character, you know, he's still struggling and
mm-hmm.
just trying to get himself together. He's really, not to say too much, but he's starting to have those suicidal thoughts again.
Right.
So where he's ready to give up, he kind of runs into somebody, and she kind of reminds him of, like, how good God is and how he can overcome through, you know, just trying to create that relationship with God. So it's something for everybody. But again, it's season two. I'm really proud of it. I look at the thing, and, you know, even though I'm starting now, I always tell myself, if I was given an opportunity, I know this series can really change lives, and I really know it can really be huge. You get mm-hmm. what I mean? So I'm just hoping for more visibility. I'm hoping more for just, you know, more opportunities. You get what I mean? For the, you know, not just for me, for these kids.
Right.
When I tell you this little boy, he's been working on the project, Archie, from like 11 to now he's 13. He'll be 14 in January. So he's been working on this project, season two, for like 2 years. So
mm-hmm.
you will see throughout the season, like, like how he grew throughout the season. You get what I mean? So it's amazing. He literally, like, just memorized lines and practiced, even sometimes where he didn't want to, and he carried the whole season on his back. So yes, you see the other two Brown brothers, but he's basically like the main protagonist. Like, it's through his eyes. You see everything through his eyes. And it was important for me to have kids lead it.
Right.
Because I feel like as an adult, sometimes we forget what it's like being a child, and how I grew up was like kids were seen and not heard. You know, like when grown folks was, you know, doing stuff, it's like going to other room, or you get what I mean? Or when you wanted to say something, you know, it was more so like, you know, your opinion don't matter. You know, you don't pay bills, you ain't grown, you ain't this stuff. So it was important for me to realize that kids see everything. you know, and it was important for me to give them a voice. So I hope that if any parent is struggling with, you know, maybe their kid is going through identity crisis, or a kid is just being rebellious or acting out in school, they'll be able to watch this series and, you know, hopefully be able to help. So the three brothers, they're basically homeless. Mm-hmm. Their mom has left them to fend for themselves. She's addicted to love. I wanted to switch the narrative because people don't realize that love can be a drug too.
Right.
So she's addicted to love. So she leaves them. She has an eviction notice, and she leaves the brothers to fend for themselves. You know, so she checks on them. She calls them, you know, maybe every couple of weeks to see how they're doing. But predominantly, they're living in bathrooms and they're living outside. They're they're just figuring it out. And these are 10, they're 10, 11, and 12. You get what I mean? So it's just a powerful story that only kids could tell. So even though I wrote it, I couldn't tell their story. You know, so they just brought the characters to life. So you'll just see, like, these kids, you know, just still getting up and trying to make it to school, even though they know, like, okay, I had to wash my clothes, you know, in the river, or I had to do this and that, and, you know, cover for each other, make sure when we get to school we don't say this and that, and, you know, so it's like you see these kids, they're like grown-ups, basically. You know what I mean? So, and they just really yearning for their mother's love, and she's just not, she doesn't have it to give them.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. I already know this is gonna be crazy.
Yeah, it's gonna
show another perspective, especially
for really crazy. And we also I want to say one more thing. We also, another thing is domestic violence.
Okay.
We definitely gonna talk about that. That's in the season. I think so domestic. It's more. I think it's one more other storyline. Yeah, I think that's it. Domestic violence. We talk about gangs, why kids join gangs. So you'll see some of that stuff, like I said, in the series, the peer pressure. You get what I mean? The kids, of course, they want to look a certain way. They, you know, they're robbing. And I wanted to humanize it because, like I said, it do get a little bit street, but it's not like street where it's like The Wire. It's humanized. Mm-hmm. So you see why are these kids stealing? Because they're hungry. They don't have any parental guidance. They don't have nobody telling them, do this, do that. They're raising themselves. So I think I wanted that when other races watch this series, you know, because I heard somebody say a while ago, I think I heard it from somewhere, that it was like a Caucasian woman who never really had too much interaction with black people, and when she seen The Wire, it was almost made us look like monsters.
Right.
So I think for me, yeah, you see them, like I said, stealing and robbing, but it's so humanized where you see that these kids is hurt and you see it, that you can't judge it. Even if you don't understand it, you like, okay, I see why did these kids, you know, doing what they're doing. You get what I'm saying? Whether you agree with it or not. Like, you just see the human side of them, and you see it in all of this. You get what I mean? Each character, you know, that's what I wanted to show. So, and season two is amazing. I just took it to the next level. And I just can't wait for everybody to see it. Like, you know, I have a commercial supposed to be airing soon in April. And I'm just, like I said, I'm hoping, you know what I mean, for big things and stuff like that. And we'll just see. And if you're not, I'll just keep grinding, you know, until something happens. And if it's not this project, it'll be another project. You get what I mean? So I'm just going to keep putting it out there. And that was important for me, not to wait for nobody to give me an opportunity for me to create it for myself.
Yeah, like I said, like, I can't wait. And you say you're already working on season three?
Yes, we just started working on season three, so I'm trying to get the cast together for that. We started filming October. So season three is going to be a little bit more shorter. It's going to be more like a 4-episode event, but the episodes are going to be a bit longer. You get what I mean? Some of the episodes is like 15, 20 minutes. The third season is going to be more like 35, maybe 40 minutes. So it's kind of like a 4-part movie. Like, it's going to be longer episodes. You get what I mean? It's going to be more content. So, but that's way in 2021. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
So, But season two is coming, and it'll be out in 4 months. I'm actually having a viewing party in my city where I'm at. We're going to have a billboard in the city. And like I said, it's, you know, all coming out of my pocket, you know what I mean? But I love the series, you know, and I felt like if I wasn't a part of it or I ain't created, like I would still watch it because it's a message in it. You get what I mean? Like I said, I want to see our people do better. I want to see us heal because I know we all been through, you know, life. You get what I mean? And I want to see us do better as Black people. And we talk about mental health and just all that type of different stuff, you know, that I feel like we as Black people, the community, is not talked about. You know what I mean?
Right. And that's another question I wanted to ask you. When you think you will stop writing hurt people, what season you think it will stop at, or would you keep going until, you know, you just come out with new ideas for another series or try to turn it into a movie?
To be honest with you, as far as right now, season three possibly maybe the last season.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth and final season, I might do like a book.
Right.
You get what I mean? But as of now, season three probably might be the last season. Season three might be the last one. But like I was saying, if I write a book to conclude it, it would really be like the book that'll be the last season. But visually, season three possibly, because people don't understand, it takes thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars right. to create a show, and it takes time. You know, the hurt people is serious. It takes up my life. You get what I mean? Like, you know, when somebody's acting, they can come, practice, and they shoot, they're going about their life. For me, like I said, it's editing, it's directing, it's writing, it's producing, it's locations, it's, I'm also an actor in it. You get what I'm saying? It's funding the project. It's a lot. You get what I'm saying? So, yeah. So season three is probably most likely going to be the last season. Unless something happens spectacular. You get what I mean? But right. season three probably will be it. And after season three, I'm hoping to, like I said, end it with a book. Where I could go more in detail, because it's certain things that I'll be wanting to go more in detail, but because I'm not privy to having certain locations like hospitals, or you get what I mean, that I can't really go too deep in certain characters or places. You get what I mean? So I feel like with a book I could exercise a little bit more. I would say three probably. I'm also just thinking about doing a documentary.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not set in stone, so I don't want to like put it out there. But I've been thinking about it. I've been talking to the guy that I've been working with. But each season, it just becomes more and more, like I said, more expensive. So it's a lot when you still got to live regular life. You still got regular bills.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, if I had like an opportunity where, you know, somebody saw it and was like, hey, we want to help fund it, then I would probably keep going. You get what I mean? But when you got regular bills and trying to, you know, still make it and survive and get by, it's almost impossible.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'll read that book too.
Definitely. I appreciate it.
You was talking about Tyler Perry earlier. Is that someone that you looked up to?
Yeah, I think when I was younger, I was just telling my cousin, we was talking, I respect his hard work. Like, I respect his work ethic. And I feel like you could say whatever you want about him, but his work ethic is just, like, uncanny. You know what I'm saying? Like, people don't understand what it takes to make one show. You get what I'm saying? Like, when I was watching Power the other day, it was about maybe about 50, 60 people in the credits.
Mm-hmm.
You got a light person, you got a sound person, you got a music person, you got a second director, you got a photographer. You get what I'm saying? You got locations, you got, you know, like
the people assistant got an assistant.
Exactly. So can you imagine it just being me being all of those people?
Right.
You get what I mean? So I respect that he's able to have two or three different shows on two or three different networks, still have a play, still, you know what I mean, do all the stuff he's doing. So I just think, just growing up, I just respected his work ethic a lot. You know what I mean? So I hope to one day, you know, because, you know, me doing my stuff in my town, that's the first person people want to, you know, compare me to, because it's like, yo, you talking about hope, you talking about God. So immediately they're like, Tyler Perry, like the little Tyler Perry. But, you know, I pray to, you know, one day I hope to just, you know, work with him. You know, that would be amazing. Like, you know what I mean? I believe it's possible. It's just how hard I work and, you know, just the hustle. Like, I got to just really get out there and hustle. But I believe in what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes people believe in it at times more than I did. You know what I mean? Because when I go to the stations, they're like, do you understand what you're doing? And I'm just like, you know, I was just trying to just survive through the, you know, what I was going through without losing my mind. You know, I wasn't realizing that it was relatable or that it was going to help somebody. I wanted it to. You know what I mean? So I think what I love about what I'm doing on my work, I'm just trying to be honest. You know what I'm saying? And not sugarcoat it, because you can't sugarcoat life. So, but Tyler Perry's definitely, yeah, I could say he was definitely an inspiration.
So this is one of the things I like to ask. And since you a filmmaker, I believe you my first filmmaker. Who's in your top five as far as like directors?
Directors. Yeah. Oh, that's crazy. See, you know what's so crazy? I feel like, if I could be honest with you, that's something that, and like what I said, go back into what I was saying about just when I was doing it, I didn't really, I'm not gonna say I didn't look up to nobody, but I really was just in my own bubble.
Right.
But so I really don't have a top five, mm-hmm. but I can say some people that I really work, that I've been seeing, that I do admire. I feel like I love Tyler Perry's work ethic. I would mm-hmm. say that. I don't know if you remember the show from back in the day. It was Hercules and Xena.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Xena. Yeah, yeah, I know. Yeah,
yeah. Oh, I think it was, I forgot the name, but of the director, but the work, the writing, you get what I'm saying? Yeah, and that's probably far off from my writing, of course, but the writing is just, I don't know, it was amazing, you get what I'm saying? Like, without the fighting. So whoever the director was, I would say I really liked their work that they did. I will also say I have to give it up for John Singleton.
Of course.
You know what I mean? Just, it's a scene in the new season that just was reminiscent of a scene. I just don't want to give it away, but I think when you see it, you'll be like, you'll make the connection.
Okay, yeah.
You get what I mean? It was also, when I also did, I think F. Greg Gary, but like I said, it's nowhere, no order or whatever. It's just some people that I admire. F. Greg Gary, he did Set It Off. He did Waterfalls for TLC. It's the scene, episode 4, when the brother got killed.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking of when, if you see Set It Off, when the girl Frankie, which played by Vivica Fox,
yeah,
when she was running, I didn't realize it until after I did the scene. I was just like, yo, this reminds me somewhat of that scene, like where they both were saying goodbye to each other, the music's, you know, dropped, and then they got shot. Yeah. So it kind of reminded me a little bit of that. You know, you gotta give props to Spike Lee. Right. You hear what I'm saying? Because he's just kind of like the godfather of, you know, the directors and, you know, stuff like that. And I definitely would like to, I think, do a little bit more research on, I guess, the new upcoming one. I think his name is Ryan, the one that did the Black Panther.
Oh, Ryan Seacrest, I think, right?
No, that's the white guy.
Oh, yeah, I'm tripping. What's his name?
He did the Black Panther one. So I definitely would like to see a little bit more.
I know you're talking about. It's Ryan something. I know you're talking about. Yeah,
he did a lot of the Michael B. Jordan stuff. And it's one more person. I think Denzel has some pretty amazing stuff too as a director. So yeah, I think that's something I also got to just do, you know, keep looking. I love what Courtney Kemp is doing on Power. Mm-hmm. You get what I mean? She's doing an amazing, like, the writing is crazy. Yeah, like, when I watch that stuff. But like I said, I think for me, also being an actor, I have scripts sometimes being sent to me, and it's, I'm like, I don't believe in it, because a lot of this stuff is just like, it's always like us being disrespectful, always us being hood. And I don't have a problem with being a hood character, because I know where I come from it.
Yeah.
But I just feel like sometimes, why do every character got to be the same character? Like every, you know, I turned some stuff down, you know, one, it was an opportunity for me. A show that I was going to be on, it was just a minor part, but that's going to Netflix. Right. And I just didn't believe in it. And mind you, it's my dream to be on Netflix.
Right.
But I told myself, if I don't never make it, like, if I don't, I just don't want to get into the business and start compromising who I am. You get what I'm saying?
You want to still be the same person. You don't want to change nobody.
I
want to
be the same person, yeah. So I think that's what's been hard for me, to really break into the entertainment business, because it's like, who are you? You feel what I'm saying? Like, saying what you gonna do and what you're not gonna do. Not in a disrespectful way, but just like, yo, like, why can't we be doctors and lawyers? You get what I'm saying? Like,
Right. Why
do we always got it? And don't get me wrong, like I said, I love Power. Mm-hmm. But why do those type of shows where we become successful? You get what I'm saying? Because that's all y'all see us as. You know, y'all don't want to see us be doctors and lawyers. You get what I'm saying? And when you look at somebody like even Obama being president, he was hated on, you know, and this was a president, a black man. So, like, why can't we change our narrative up? You get what I'm saying? We not just all crack, you know, our moms is just crackheads and deadbeat dads. Yes, that stuff happens, but I feel like we more than that.
Yeah, we have more going on than just the same old stories and stuff like that. I get what you're saying. Speaking of Netflix, and as you see, since Netflix and Hulu, it's been so many like streaming services popping out of nowhere, like Apple, Amazon, you know, Disney just dropped theirs, HBO puts a drop there sometime next year with the HBO Max. Like, do you feel like as a film director that is more opportunity, and also YouTube too? YouTube got they, you know, the original shows and stuff.
Yeah.
Do you think is more opportunity in this landscape versus maybe even a few years ago, 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah, I think it's definitely more opportunity, especially with streaming, because if I could be honest, I don't really watch TV as much. Like, I might, like I said, I'm just catching up on Power. I try not to, like, necessarily, like, watch a lot of shows because I don't want it to take my art, meaning I don't want to, I like stuff and you see stuff and it's inspirational, but I don't want it to the point where I'm changing, like, you get what I mean? Like, my characters and just my art. Like, I want my stuff to be pure and I want to be in the right hand space. So, but I don't really watch TV a lot. A lot of people are on their phones, they're on Instagram, Facebook, so YouTube. So I think the streaming is like the new wave. You get what I mean? So it is more opportunities. You get what I mean? But what I realize also at the same time, I think is what I see now in Hollywood is just more people coming forward and creating more content. I think a lot of black actors back in the day was just waiting for people to really give them an opportunity. So I think now more so where you got people like Issa Rae, you get what I'm saying, starting off on YouTube, like I'm starting off on YouTube and creating something for herself, you get what I mean? But didn't wait for nobody to create, you know, a table for her, you know, she created, you know, like the whole kitchen, you get what I mean?
Right.
So I think that's what I see more so, like people are creating more, and you have to, because you'll just be waiting for opportunity and you'll be, you know, basically waiting for opportunity, having somebody else's life in their hands, you get what I mean? So
right.
I would like to see that more also continuing to be more, just create your own people, create your own stuff, be your own boss. And that's why I said, again, why I love Tyler Perry, because from the gate, he funded his own project. He funded his own plays. He funded his first movie, you know? Me and my cousin were just talking about Ice Cube recently and how he wanted to do Friday 4, I guess. And then, you know, the John Witherspoon just passed away.
Yeah.
How he was kind of bothered by it. And I was just thinking to myself, like, well, why didn't he just find his own, you know, stuff? But I think sometimes people, you know, they become fearful. You know, that's that fear, those voices, you know, in your own head. You get what I mean? Like, what if it tanks? What if it's not successful? What if, you know, and there's so many other ways to do it. It's this other director. I don't know his name, but he was just talking. Like, I love listening to interviews, like, stuff like podcasts and Breakfast Club. He was just talking about how it was a movie last year, Megan Good, and Michael Erling was in. And he was just talking about how he didn't really have the money up front to pay them. But he said, you know what, listen, I'll pay y'all on the back end. Meaning, I can give y'all executive producer, I can give y'all a percentage. So if the, you know, the movie do something, then y'all can get the back end that way. You get what I mean?
So right.
We could have had another Friday, but when you're waiting on studios, when you're waiting on people to give you opportunities, then you're never going to do it.
Oh, yeah. You know? Oh, yeah. Just to, my bad, bro. Just to say this, I don't know your political ways, but Trump just got impeached, just to let you know. So I don't know if you...
Yeah, I mean, I heard a little bit about it. I don't really know too much about it.
Mm-hmm.
They say he getting impeached. I guess I just wait to see.
No, it just happened. It's on the news.
Oh, it's happening.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I mean, I just feel like this is how I honestly feel about it.
How you feel about
like
it?
I feel like my personal view is, you feel what I'm saying? Like, yo, they need to, like, what? They just let this man destroy, you feel me? United States. Like, that's right. Just how I feel. But then I feel like, you know, like, the biblical side of me feel like, okay, no matter who in office, like, because of where I'm trying to go with my relationship with God, whoever in the office, I got to honor them, even if I don't respect how they moving. You feel what I'm saying? I look at it like a situation, like, even with your parents, like, okay, this is my parent. This is somebody who I got to look up to. I might not respect how they move or certain things they do, but because they're my parent, I got to honor them. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
So when it comes to Trump, I don't agree with none of the stuff he did. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But no matter who in leadership, I just got to understand, you feel me? Like, God is in control. You know what I mean? Like, so I got to put my faith in him. Like, so that's just how I feel about that situation. But, you know, I could definitely say I'm happy about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But no matter who's in office, like, people got to realize God is in control no matter what. So I think people, they get so too wrapped up in who's in the office when at the end of the day, even if he's in office or not in office, like, you know, somebody else might come along and they're not going to be perfect. I mean, don't get me wrong, he was the worst of the worst, but, you know what I mean? Like, God is still in control, so it don't really no matter who in office, you know? That's how I look at the situation. But, you know, I wish that it could have definitely, you know, we could have somebody better in office, but at the end of the day, everything happens for a reason. You know what I mean? And I'm just hoping for the best for the future.
I mean, the only thing, like I said, only really thing positive that happened during this whole thing with Trump is that he forced a lot of people, especially, you know, it's sad to say, but even in our culture, a lot of people to not settle for a 9-to-5 too much, but to have a business and to have, you know, to invest. Because by him being so reckless and stuff, you never know when your time was going to come, especially having a job and everything. So it's like, It to me, for him to be in the office and having people, like, damn, man, I may, like, especially people who work for, like, the government, the federal government, like, damn, I might be off a job. And for people to see that, what can happen, and for them just to get off their asses and you know, be creative. You know, like you said, like, you want people to be, you want them to not just rely on big companies. You also want them to, you know, create their own fate, create their own way so they don't have no problems, you know, creating movies and shows and things of that nature, you know. So that was, to me, that was the only positive during this run, you know, honestly, you know. Yeah. But to get back on you real quick, I like to ask everyone this, you know, just one of the final questions I like to ask. Where do you see yourself 5 to 10 years from now?
Where do I see myself? That's hard. I don't really have an exact answer. I see myself having a better relationship with the father. Like I said, after my best friend passed away, I think for me, it was just like my purpose. You know, what am I here for? You know what I mean? I see myself just more spiritually grounded, following God more definitely. I see myself creating more content, you know, giving other, you know, actors opportunity. You get what I'm saying? You know, definitely uplifting. I feel like this series is uplifting the community, hopefully the world. I just see myself just continuing to grow and becoming a better writer. I feel like there's always an opportunity to, like I said, go mainstream, make it big. But like I said, it's all about playing the game, and it's all about, it's like, sometimes people get in those positions and they compromise who they are. So I really don't know, if I could be honest sometimes, how far I'm going to go with not doing certain things, you know, because I've only, you know, done a couple of things. And as soon as you start getting into business, you start hearing, you know, certain stuff. And some people be like, I don't believe in that Illuminati stuff, but it's a lot of stuff. You get what I mean? I will say that without saying too much, you know, I don't give a bite coming after me, you know what I mean? But, it's a lot with the industry. So I just see myself just continuing the right. I really pray one day I can work with Tyler Perry. And I just see myself just, you know, through the writing, people's lives being changed, you know, whether that looks like people getting counseling, whether that looks like people going back to their father that they probably never met most of their life, not being there and saying, guess what? You know what I'm saying? You hurt me. You get what I mean? This is why I'm where I am. Or, you know, mom, you left me. Or, you know, or just, you know what I mean? Just people just figuring out what the core issues is in their life, and them looking at their child maybe, and just figuring things out. So I see just me, hopefully somewhat like being a healer. You know what I mean? In that way, emotionally, you know. I see myself being an author. I definitely see myself being in movies. I just see myself just growing. Like, I see the future just, I feel like it's big for me. But I also always want to stay humble. Like, I always want to just be like, yo, God can take it. God give it, and he can take it. Like, I never want to get too, you know, I never want to get big, you know, like big-headed. You get what I mean? Like, where I'm just thinking, oh, I'm better, and, you know what I mean? Like, it's millions of people that want to do what I'm doing. So I'm blessed, you know? And whether I get the Netflix deal for season 2 or 3, I'm not going to say it doesn't mean anything, but it really, to me, it doesn't matter, because I did what I came to do. You get what I'm saying? I'm successful at what I'm doing, you know? So whether Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, hopefully I have some meetings coming up. But like I said, if it doesn't happen and I just put them up on YouTube and people love it, and, you know, I'm okay with that too. You get what I mean? Mm-hmm. So success to me doesn't just look like Netflix or Amazon or Apple. Success looks to me like completing the task that I had ahead of me. You know, like, I'm successful already because I'm 2 seasons in, you know, that I financed myself. So I feel like me completing that project and having an all black cast and it being it's positive, I'm successful.
That's what's up, man. And like I tell everybody, don't forget about your boy. You know, I'm open to, you know, do a little acting here and there. You know, I give you, you know, all the praises, because, you know, like I said, like, the first season was so good.
Thank you. I gotta actually sing you. Normally I don't, you get what I'm saying, but I'm gonna sing you, like, it's just a little demo mini trailer. I'll send it to you, like, after I'm done. off the phone with you. It's like a 30-second trailer. It's supposed to be the commercial that's supposed to be coming out in April. But I'm going to send it to you so you can see. It's not like a little demo version, but I'm going to send it to you. But like I said, it won't be out till like 4 months. But I'm going to just show you, you know, like, basically like a slow sneak preview. You get what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So, okay,
but 30 seconds is quick, though. So yeah. Before you know it, it'll be over with. You know what I mean? But I'll send it to you.
Yeah, send that to me.
Yeah. And definitely, you know, again, I thank you. This opportunity, you know what I'm saying? I hope the one day to be in Miami, that's always been my thing. Like, L.A., I gotta get down to Miami. I gotta get to L.A. I definitely gotta get out there. But, you know what I mean? I was gonna ask you, too. I know you're almost done, but I wanted to ask you, like, how did you come across this series? Was it because when I think I reached out, right, to you?
I believe so. Like, when you reached out, It was a while ago.
Like 2 years ago.
Yeah, and I'm like, I think you reached out to me, but I don't know how you reached out though, cause I don't know if I follow you or you follow me or whatnot.
Yeah. I think I found it on like Facebook or something. It was like podcasts or something.
Cause you reached out to me about it, and you said you had the show. And I was like, all right, let me check it out. But it took me maybe a couple of weeks or so. And then when I watched the show, I was like, yeah, we definitely got to set it up, you know. Like,
yeah, definitely.
You know, but it was, like I said, I really liked the first season. I can't wait till season two. And, you know, and I'm praying that, you know, with all these streaming services, especially Netflix, when they want to have, like, over 700 original series come out every year. You know, I hope that, you know, you get that chance, you know, to put your show on there, because it's a lot, you know. It's a lot of exposure, you know.
Yeah.
So, and then you have HBOs, you have the Showtimes, you know, you have the Cinemaxes, you have the BETs, you have the MTVs, you have all these networks, because for me, I tell people all the time, for me, I don't think cable gonna go anywhere, because how can you? Because it's people like myself that want to watch stuff on HBO, want to watch stuff on Stars, on Netflix, on Hulu. Like, it had to be one day where a cable company, I don't know how they gonna do it, but it will happen. They gonna have to be like, all right, we can have. The Netflix, Hulu app, all them apps, plus the cable, you know. Because me, honestly, I kind of love cable anyway, because I'm a sports guy. So for me, like, I need every channel, instead of, like, going from one app to another. Like, I need to have everything, like, reachable. So if I want to watch ESPN, I can watch ESPN. If I want to go on Fox, I can watch it without logging in and out, you know. So that's why I say, like, the cable ain't going nowhere, you know. Right. Of course, the stream ain't going nowhere either, but I feel like one day, maybe 5-10 years from now, they could find a solution where, you know, they could have everything in one, you know. And that, to me, that'd be fine. Whether, like I said before, like I got Comcast, and Comcast, From the actual, like, the cable, I can go to the Netflix app instead of switching inputs and going on my Fire Stick on my PlayStation. But I can do it from Comcast. So I hope they do it one day.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So you have any shout outs before we officially log off?
Yeah, I just wanted to, again, or whatever, for the people, you know what I mean, anybody that listens or whatever, season two will be out at the end of April. Our viewing party is April 24th. And before season two, I would just highly recommend watching season one. It's on YouTube now. It's called Bitter and Broken Web Series. We got 8 episodes, so I would say check that out. Also, you can check us out on Facebook. We got almost 4,000 followers on the Facebook page. It's called Hurt People, Hurt People, Bitter and Broken, the series on Facebook. And then we got our Instagram page. It was like maybe 200 followers. I don't know what's up Instagram with, but on Instagram, it's Hurt People series on our Instagram. You can follow me on Instagram. It's Ricardo Richard, but it's spelled Richard. And I'm also on Facebook with the same name. And I just wanted to shout out my cast, you get what I'm saying, for working hard. And people would never understand, like, what happens behind the scenes as far as these people was going through real life. You get what I mean? Like, people was going through real, real, real life. Like, if I sit up here and tell you the stories, like, it's a whole nother series in itself.
Right.
You know? But for people to show up, you get what I mean, and do this, you know, it meant everything. So I just wanted to shout my entire cast from season one, my cast for season two, and the new people that came along and just gelled with us, you know, and made it a bigger family. You get what I mean? It's amazing. So we got a couple, like I said, some couple of artists. I added a couple of artists in the new season, so you'll hear their music throughout the season, which was different for me. You know, to try to help upcoming artists while I'm trying to, you know, kind of grow up too, you know.
Right.
And yeah, just season two will be out soon. I can't wait for you guys to see it. It's amazing, I promise you. For the women that watch the first 3-4 minutes, they're going to be, I feel like if they don't cry, their eyes will get watery. You feel right. me? So the first 3 minutes of the episode, their eyes is going to be watery. Like the first 3 minutes when you watch it, you're going to be like, yo, this nigga took you to the next level. Because when I watched the first preview, I was like, yo, they're going to love the first 3 minutes of it. It's crazy. So it's episode one is like, it's fire. You get what I mean? Like it's episode 1 and 8 of the new season. 1 and 7, I'm sorry. 1 and 7 is my favorite episode. So I think you're going to love it, you know? And I just, you know, when you guys do watch season one, please leave comments. You know, I read the comments. I want to know, of course, you know, the good and the bad or whatever. And, you know, if I don't mind the constructive criticism, as long as it's constructive criticism and it's right. not, like, nasty comments. You know what I mean?
I meant to ask you that, too. Like, how do you have tough skin? Do you take criticism like that? Like, when I'm pretty sure you ain't really had that much bad stuff, you know, comment about the episodes, but do you handle that as like well, or do you like take it?
Yeah, I think Jay-Z said it well. Like he said, you know, I'm sensitive about my, you know. However, I feel like with me or whatever, like, you know, this is kind of like my baby that I kind of, like I said, put it out there to the world. So I do believe that my thing is not going to be for everybody, you know. So I'm okay with some people not liking it because it's so much more love than negativity. But yeah, I have gotten negative comments. You get what I'm saying? One guy was like, oh, take that Old Testament God and shove it up your ass. And just people from where I come from, like the city, like I said, you know, people from Trenton coming from the hood, some people saying, you know, just nasty stuff. But because, like I said, with that hurt people thing, you got to take a look at yourself. Right. You get what I mean? It ain't just about getting high all day and getting drunk all day. And then you waking up, you still got the same problems. So that's why it was important for me to play that alcoholic character. Like, okay, yeah, he drunk, but when he get up the next day, he still got the same issues. So we have to keep drinking until what? It's still going to be there. So I think it's hard, like I said, especially for us as young black men. It's hard for people like us to watch stuff like this because, well, not me or necessarily you, but I'm saying for certain men, that's not really men, you feel me? I would say they're still like running, you get what I mean? That's not one to sit down and really deal with themselves, you know? It's hard, you know? So I think, like I said, it's conscious and everybody's not there. Like, everybody's not, don't want to address their issues. They don't want to recognize their hurt or the hurt that they're causing others. You get what I mean? Like,
right.
A lot of that comes with maturity. You get what I mean? So I think this series for some people is a mirror. And everybody, they're not ready to face themselves, you know? So it's not going to be for everybody. You know, but for people that want to grow, that want to change, And I just want to just see, guess what? You know, we all been through something. You know, this series is colorless, even though it's a black cast. I'm pretty sure everybody might got a, you know, an alcoholic uncle or a cousin Pookie, or you right. get what I'm saying, or just you have it. So something's in the series for everybody. You get what I mean? So yeah, no, it doesn't bother me, the criticism. You know what I mean? Because like I said, it's not gonna be for everybody. I believe it's a series for everybody, but it just depends on where you are in life, if you can receive it, if you're willing to grow, and you know, so. No, I don't. I just look at it. Sometimes I laugh. Sometimes I'm like, wow. Like, you know, no matter what you're doing, you could be doing something positive. Somebody, depending on where a person is in their life and where they are emotionally, you know, and it has nothing to do with you, they'll find something negative in the positive.
Right. Yeah. So that's the thing about, you know, this era. But whatever, we do what we got to do, and we move on, and. And that's it. But you know, once again, thank you for, you know, coming on the show.
Of course.
We have many more. Looking forward for season 2.
Yes.
And yeah, man. So this has been your boy DJ Anonymous with Sports Biz Music, the podcast, episode 108 with Ricardo Richard, and we up.